+49.
Bienvenidos to another edition of +49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and our guest today is an amazing person. He is the Darvish, and what he does, how he does it, and why he loves Berlin so much is in our next interview. But before we get there, we have our highlights of the week. Hope you enjoy them. On today's update, a new study by the German Economic Institute has revealed some critical insights into the role of foreign workers in Germany's eastern federal states. The study concludes that non-German workers are simply indispensable for the region's economy. As of 2023, over 400,000 foreign nationals were employed in five eastern states, an increase of 170,000 in just 5 years. These workers alone contribute a massive 24.6 billion euros to the local economy, representing about 5.8% of the region's total gross value creation. Even more striking, the report found out that between 2018 and 2023, the number of working Germans in the area dropped by 116,000. This makes foreign workers even more crucial for economic sustainability. Study co-author Vito Geist-Trüne emphasizes the importance of keeping Eastern Germany open to international talent, saying it's the only way the economy there can continue to thrive. Now, shifting gears to Berlin public transport news. If you're riding the bus in Berlin, don't forget it. This week, it's cashless payments only. Berlin's public transport company, BVG, has fully transitioned to digital payments, allowing riders to pay by debit, credit card, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even rechargeable BVG cards. Why the change? Well, BVG says that the majority of passengers, about 99%, already board with a valid ticket, and only a handful of tickets were being paid with cash. This shift aims to make things smoother and faster for both passengers and bus drivers. This move follows the end of the cash ban from the pandemic days, and so far the response has been overwhelmingly positive, with many passengers already embracing the new system. Even if the name makes the reference to another month, the Oktoberfest starts actually always in September. And this year, it will begin on the 21st and run until October the 6th in München. But what makes Oktoberfest so popular? Well, it's all about the atmosphere. You've got traditional Bavarian culture, enormous beer tents, live folk music, colorful parades, and of course, delicious food like pretzels, sausages, and roast chicken. It's a massive celebration with around 6 million visitors flocking to München every year from all corners of the globe. And let's not forget about the beer, brewed locally. Oktoberfest beers are specially made for the occasion, stronger than your average brew, and served in those iconic 1-liter steins. But here's something you might not know. Oktoberfest isn't exactly representative of Germany as a whole. While it's often seen as the German festival, it's actually a Bavarian tradition with deep roots into the state's culture. The first Oktoberfest was held in 1810 to celebrate the marriage of Bavarian Crown Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese. Over the years, it evolved into the beer-filled extravaganza we know today. Despite its global fame, many Germans from other regions don't really see Oktoberfest as part of their own culture. Germany is a very diverse country with different regions, each one having its own customs, dialects, and local festivals. In fact, Northern Germans, or those from other federal states, might feel a little bit disconnected from the Bavarian-centric nature of the Oktoberfest. So, while millions enjoy the festivities, it is important to remember that Oktoberfest reflects just one part of Germany's rich cultural tapestry. But hey, whether you're a local or a visitor, if you're headed to München this year, you're in for a great time. Ozaps! Today, we're more than excited to welcome the Darvish to our show. He is a self-taught belly dancer from Syria that is currently living in Berlin. And he's also an organizer of cultural events and performer parties. Is co-organizer of Queens Against Borders, and it's a published author. Dear Darvish, thank you so much for your time and welcome to Expat Berlin.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everyone, to everyone that's hearing us right now. Hi.
Great. Let's go with the first things first. How long did you arrive in Berlin and how did you make the city your own home? And of course, how did you start dancing?
First, I thought, let's go first thing first. I was like, yes, I'm single. No, but to answer your questions, I'm here since 8 years now. And it has been definitely a roller coaster because I did not know coming into Berlin that I'm going to create a whole new, you know, life as well as a career, building, you know, a chosen community, making Berlin my home. So yeah, it was definitely a nice surprise. And I already forgot the second half of the question.
How did you start dancing?
Oh, yeah. Quite easy. I was very being myself at the club one day, and a drag artist, my colleague that I co-organize events with, Judy La Divina, has approached me saying, oh, who are you? We should definitely work together and be on stage. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not a dancer. I'm not like a drag artist. But I did appreciate that little gesture of coming to a stranger saying, hey, I like your dancing. Let's connect. That was definitely one of the first kind of encounters that I have had with a drag performer or drag artist. And that's, how I started dancing basically on stages. Then I created the persona of the Darvish and everything snowballed afterwards.
What I actually wanted to ask you is, so someone saw you dancing and invited you to arrive, so to say, in Berlin, to get into this cultural scene. Is this something that it's normal in Berlin, or do you think this was something just special because of the circle that you move in?
I think it's definitely special by itself, but I also like to think that it's not like an incident standing alone. I do see a lot of collaborations rising from simply having a like a common goal, going through creativity or representation or visibility or any sort of like, yes, we're here, we want to do something, let's work together towards it. So I have definitely done that within my collaborations as well in the previous years with other collectives or other artists. So I'd like to think that I have also created this environment around me. I think it's always possible to create together.
And that's great. That is the beautiful thing, because at the end of the day, it's kind of paying forward. And especially as someone who was not born in Germany, we kind of believe that we don't really arrived here and we don't have like a small circle. And then somehow you sort of start doing your own small circle. Mm-hmm. Besides being single, I'm stressing that out because I already said it. You're single, so people out there, he's single. You can go and book him for a performance and also remind yourselves he's single. But you have done so many amazing things here in this city. Tell us a little bit more about Queens Against Borders.
Queens Against Borders is like a little baby that I continue to nurture, but not just me myself. Like, it was established by a drag artist called Olympia Bukakis in 2015. And when I joined it, we worked together for many years, exactly nurturing this kind of connections between the established artists of Berlin, as well as the newcomers, the refugees, the POC artists coming and not knowing where to start with their artistic journey. So giving a platform to tell their own narratives. And I think we have achieved in the past several years so much towards that, you know, from performing in front of the Reichstag recently, working with Bergamon Museum on their closing event, really taking our trans and queer artistic narratives and putting it in a museum, which I am very proud of. Yeah, from working with politicians as well, it's been a quite a lovely journey, and it's continuous. You know, we literally just did a huge festival headlining a couple of weeks ago. So I believe with Queens Against Borders, we're able to put our voices first. And yeah, I like to work towards that always.
How has Berlin helped you become who you are today?
Oof. I guess how is quite complicated because I'm very intersectionalized with various communities or sub-communities. It helped me be who I am, but I also like to think that I helped Berlin or my Berlin, you know, bubbles be how they are in a way for me. So it's kind of like a codependency situation right now. I feel that Berlin is such a big part of me that I'm also a part of it. And it's the type of consensus that you can be whomever you want to be and do whatever you want to be as long as you're respectful to the person in front of you and as long as you're able to really nourish prosperity in any kind of field in this city. And yeah, I love Berlin because it's literally just that.
We are Berliners.
Yeah. True indeed.
We are talking to the Darvish. Mm-hmm. And before anything else, how do you say your name in Arabic? Because I found that so beautiful.
So in Arabic, you will say El Darwish.
El Darwish.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nice. Very nice. I believe that belly dancing is such a form, just a phenomenal way to express yourself. I mean, in general, dance it is. Mm-hmm. It's a way to come out of your body.
Yeah.
But I think especially with belly dancer, it's kind of like very sensual. And on the other side, you leave so much of yourself out there. And I don't know how it has been for you, but at least for those who Germans that start learning salsa and Latin America dancer,
Yeah. They
always go like 1, 2, 3, cha-cha-cha, 1, 2. And it's just like they're marching. They're not really feeling it.
Exactly. And that's one of the issues sometimes I do face when I'm having workshops where, yes, Europeans in general, but specifically Germans, are very structured in a way to learn steps in a matter of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But sometimes with types of dance like salsa or belly dance or like raqs sharqi, it's really about the rhythm, the feeling, the passion with the music. So I find it a bit hard sometimes indeed to like teach, but it all comes with practice. Like the longer you do it, the better. At least that's how I did it. As being self-taught, step by step, you realize where you're stepping wrong, where you need to like be in sync with the rhythm of the track that you're dancing to. So it's really about practice.
Has your teachings break some of those cultural complications between Germans and their mindset of 1, 2, 3, cha cha cha? Well, this is Mexican, but that, for instance. But you probably have had this situation where because of dancing, you have really crossed that border, crossed that stiffness.
I have had that specifically because I also believe that like the language of dance is so universal and we can speak to each other through the body movements and the translations of our bodies with the rhythm. I have had lots of people that gets clicked immediately with the track or like with the teachings, but I also think there's like a mental blockage sometimes to that Yeah, that doesn't lead them to think, oh, I can do this, or I'll be like fine with this step or not. And it's just, you know, sometimes letting go of that mentality and enjoying the moment of that you are able to dance, you're able to move freely. A lot of people get stuck in their brain and they don't enjoy it, which is the first taboo in my eye.
I'm speechless. Because it's really beautiful. At the end of the day, I think this is part of the cultural richness that comes from multiculturality.
Mm-hmm.
And in topics such as cultural and dancing, where you actually have to try to express yourself in a way and to include more people around it, it just makes not only our country, and by our country I'm meaning right now Germany, mm-hmm. but our society and international. I think I love what you're saying. And are you still teaching?
Yeah, I am. Whenever I'm booked in studios, but also like when I'm like touring with the theater, sometimes I would be offering like a workshop within the bespoke theater that were there. But I do agree, like there was indeed many times ways where that mentality of what belly dance is or what this culture is gets dissolved with the thought of interacting with someone from the country or someone like me coming like as a refugee or as a independent artist, let's say, introducing the type of art or like this art form in a completely new way that people think, oh, it's actually not what we see on TV. It's not what we have learned about the Mesopotamian countries or the Middle East. It's a completely new universe. And that's, I think, a lot of times the issue here in Europe, where the prejudice is not allowing to actually explore the diversity of how we as communities can be together.
And it's beautiful that you're doing this, and it has been really amazing to talk to you. And I really, really hope that I can either book you for something so I can learn, or that I can go to a workshop,
Or let's talk to some politicians. I'm up for it.
Yes, let's go and make some noise.
Let's change their minds. Not change, at least enlighten them, because I think they are so living in their own bubble, and it's not it, girly.
It's not. It's a complicated moment, and I think it's exactly the moment where we need to bring more joy and love, and of course different types of way to be creative, to go outside of this problem in a created but also in a togetherness way.
Agreed. Just like starting a conversation, that's as simple as that.
So let's keep talking. We're back with our last part of the interview with the Darvish. There's still so many things that I would love to ask you, but let's leave on a positive and hopeful note. What are your plans for the future, and where can we see you?
What are my plans for the future? Right now what I'm thinking about is that because I got back to university just recently, I'm just going to focus a little bit on balancing between my career, organizing events, as well as being a student, which is not an easy thing to do, but I'm hopeful. And maybe travel to Turkey, because I will do maybe an Erasmus year there. I don't know. But until then, I'm staying working here, producing the events. Hopefully see you all listeners, and as well Sigrid, at the next event. Where to find me is actually, you can go to my website. It's thedarvish.com, or my Instagram, thedarvishofficial, as well as Queens Against Borders, which is Queens X Borders. Very, very charmant.
Very charmant indeed.
But I'm also like wanting to have some time off, because I just did a big production with Tag de Club Kultur, and I was on the jury member And I also invited Queens Against Borders artists to perform. So it was a lot. So I need my time off, I guess.
You deserve it, and you deserve it.
Very much needed. Everyone needs to, I believe, get some restful time for themselves. Otherwise, we're just like running constantly. So take care of yourselves, babe.
That is indeed a very positive and hopeful note to end this interventions with you. It was amazing. We really hope that you enjoy your time off, your time for yourself. And we hope to have you back again with us at this program.
Thank you for having me, babe. Thanks.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tara. And I just wanted to ask the Germans, why is it always so quiet here? I mean, I know you like your Ruhezeit, but why are you so strict about it?
Well, Ruhezeit, or quiet hours, is indeed something we take very serious here. In fact, we even have a whole Ruhetag, Sunday. Not only are most of the shops closed that day, but you might notice that many Germans adjust their lifestyle to embrace the quietness and take the day to relax and spend some time with the family. The streets are noticeably quieter as people step away from their usual hustle and bustle to enjoy a more relaxed pace of life. Many people use this day to enjoy leisurely breakfasts with loved ones, go for long walks in nature, or simply indulge in hobbies that bring them joy. This cultural norm stems from a deep-rooted appreciation for peace and personal space, allowing individuals to recharge for the week ahead. In addition to Sunday being a designated quiet day, there are also specific Ruhezeiten during the week. Typically, these hours are observed in residential areas from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. and after 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. on weekdays. During these times, loud noises such as lawn mowing, hammering, or even playing music at high volumes are frowned upon. Neighbors often communicate their expectations regarding noise levels directly or through community guidelines. Germans take Ruhezeit quite seriously. In fact, if someone is particularly disruptive during these hours, neighbors might even call the police. However, don't be scared. Usually, it isn't a problem if things get occasionally louder than they should be, as long as it doesn't happen too often and you remain respectful about it. If you know you have a big party planned or some noisy activity ahead, consider leaving a little note to let your neighbors know in advance. You could even extend an invitation. Most of the time, they will appreciate your thoughtfulness and may even join in on the fun. Ultimately, embracing Ruhezeit is about finding balance between socializing and solitude, between activity and rest. So next time you find yourself in Germany on a Sunday or during designated quiet hours, take a moment to enjoy the calm. It's an opportunity not just to slow down, but also to savor life's simple pleasures, whether that means curling up with a good book or enjoying a leisurely stroll through your neighborhood while soaking in the serene ambience around you.
This is the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for being here with us today. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and we love to hear from you. So if you have any questions, suggestions, or whatever it is that your heart is feeling, just share it with us through our social media accounts at Plus 49. Thank you and have a beautiful week.